Welcome to TFP, the Theater Folk Podcast. I'm Lindsay Price, resident playwright for Theater Folk, coming at you from in front of a little foam box. Hello. I hope you're well. Thanks for listening. Today, it's a blast from the past. Theater Folk podcasting before there ever was a TFP. Episode 51. So, for the next 2 weeks, we're going to be opening the vault, as it were, to the Theater Folk podcasting past. And this week is from the way, way past, way back, man. I'd like you to know that I just made double V signs in front of the microphone. So both these interviews are over 5 years old. And why would we post interviews that are over 5 years old? Well, they both involve one-act plays of ours, and they both share interesting production experiences. They both talk about what it was like to perform these plays, one from a director's experience and one from a cast, an actor's experience. And I know that for our customers, when you're looking at a play, you want to know just what it's like to read a play or see a play, but also you want to know the experiences of others that can help in how you visualize and how you take in the play. And so the first interview is with Ruth Wareham, who directed a production of Emotional Baggage and had quite the interesting, and I use that word with fully gritted teeth, adjudication experience.
Hello there, podcast listeners. This is Lindsay Price at the International Thespians Festival in Lincoln, Nebraska, and I am with
Ruth Wareham.
Ruth Wareham, and Ruth came up to our table the other day and introduced herself as the director of Emotional Baggage, which I'm always glad to meet directors who do this play because it has varying reactions. Tell us about why you chose it.
I definitely wanted something different. I wanted something that would challenge my students, especially with being required to go to District 1 at competitions. We're always looking for something that's a little unique that would, take people by surprise. Definitely did that. And I'm very focused on the process of doing a play, not just the final outcome. And I thought that this would be something that would be a very fun creative process to be a part of with my students.
It's a very different play. And tell people why.
Well, first of all, there's no dialogue, which makes it unique. The story is done through pantomime with a suggestion of use of music.
When you saw the script for the first time, did it freak you out?
Well, I had read a summary about it, so I knew what I was getting into. I definitely had to read it a few times. It's not something that's obvious that's self-explanatory. You know, when you have the dialogue there, it's, you know, things just kind of pop into your head. Obviously, so I could tell it was something different. I wouldn't say I was like scared. I was really actually it intrigued me.
That's good.
I come from a dance background, so I thought this would be a neat opportunity to do some creative movement.
And what did the students think?
They were so excited about it. Even when I tried to give a synopsis of what our show is going to be for the next season at the previous end of the school year, and I could even just see the interest on their face when I said we were going to do that show. So they were very excited about it. I had so much interest in it that actually I triple cast the show.
Oh,
so
wow.
I had three different casts to pull from.
And did you do it? I know that sometimes when I see it, it's done in mask and sometimes in very out of this world makeup. How did you decide to do that?
We decided after a lot of thought and discussion, I wanted my kids to really be in on the decision making too. We decided to go with makeup. We wanted to, I didn't want to hide facial expressions, and because seeing what was just naturally happening in rehearsal, I wanted to enhance those reactions by using makeup.
So you went to your district and you had a, let's say, an interesting experience with your adjudicator.
Right.
What happened?
Well, I'm glad that they always do an oral response critique, and then you get all of the written sheets. And I'm glad that the person they chose to critique us in front of the audience loved the show. She was like, kudos to the cast and your director for taking a risk in doing this different production. But on the written critiques, one of the judges just did not get it, is the best way I can describe it.
And they said a very horrible thing, which I, when you first told me, I am still livid. And I went and told, I've been telling your story everywhere, to the point where someone was actually going to go, they thought it happened here, and they were going to go beat up someone. We're like, no. What did they say?
I can't remember exactly how they phrased it, but it was pretty much, I wondered why anyone would want to watch more than 5 minutes of this. That's coming, though, from a vocal coach. So, you know, he probably just didn't.
Well, exactly.
I mean, especially when you're dealing with high schoolers, you know, and my biggest thing is take a risk, do something different. So what if it doesn't work?
We don't have to do Neil Simon like all the time. As much as I love Neil Simon,
right.
Maybe we don't have to do it.
Like, exactly.
Maybe we don't have to have, Death of a, all the, you know, there's nothing wrong with those, but there's absolutely nothing wrong with going in a new direction. And then saying how great it is that they, you know, did it. Whether, even if it wasn't a successful production, you have to go, wow, I can't believe you did that.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, you're always trying to tell our kids to take risks. But then when you get comments like that, that's what makes them start to put up a wall and not want to do it anymore. Exactly. But I think, I mean, all of us, students included, realized that he was, I mean, basically he was just ignorant.
Excellent. Well, I really want, when you came by, I really wanted to sort of have this little chat so that we can, put it on our website and have other people who do emotional baggage, of which there are so many interested, and you are not the first person, not the first show to have had that reaction.
Right.
It's always amazing about how some people are just not willing to take a risk. So for any of those future directors out there, what do you say about doing this show?
First of all, definitely do it. It's quite a learning experience. It's tons of fun. It's a great way to see a different side of performance from your students. It just really depends on whose eyes are watching, because we had people that came back to see the show because they loved it. And it's one of those things that's really left open for interpretation.
Awesome.
All right. So now on to the second interview, which is with playwright and director and teacher Billy Hauk. He is the author of A Box of Puppies, which is a poignant and funny collection of short plays and monologues about the insecurities and frailties of being a teenager. Oh, you should read it. It's I think the monologue in there, One Beer Too Many, is really just so fantastic and so bittersweet. So I talked to Billy at the International Thespian Festival one year when he brought a couple of the plays in A Box of Puppies to festival. I talked to him and to his cast and what their experience was like performing the play and performing it at a big festival like the International Thespian Festival. It's a lovely exchange. Here you go.
I am Lindsay Price, and I am here with the cast and director of A Box of Puppies. And so we have Billy. Billy, you have to say your last name because...
Billy Hauk.
Billy Hauk and...
Linnell Chavez.
Linnell.
Kelsey Kessler.
Kelsey.
Danielle Ames.
Danielle, very good. And you guys are doing Box of Puppies' 4 plays, and you guys are doing 2, correct?
Yes.
So who is in which one? Who's in Constantly Incessantly All the Time? This is Danielle. Danielle is putting up her hand. So you're doing Constantly Incessantly All the Time.
Yeah.
And that means that you guys are in Diatom.
Yeah.
Very good. So let's talk first about Constantly Incessantly All the Time. What's that like?
It's awesome. Like, I don't know, it's kind of scary being like 10 minutes of just yourself. It's nice because you have all the props, so it like doesn't die down easily.
No, you have. It's sort of like a clown car of. Is that, do you have like the biggest, Billy? Do you have the biggest knapsack of all time?
Yes, I actually went out and got a knapsack just for this.
Right.
My daughter is going to Europe later this summer. So it's one of those, the big, you know, American tourist backpack.
Oh, that's really awesome.
That I used in high school.
No.
Kids do carry huge backpacks. It's
they've been carrying them since the dawn of time, I think.
A lot of that play is based on just talking to kids and asking them what was in their backpack.
But you know what? What's really interesting about that one, though, is when what really caught me when I read it is there's that aspect of it. It's the clown car bag. But then there's that twist where the little thing comes up and it talks to the little bag. And then we have the twist, right, about what's actually in the little bag. And what's that moment like for you? Like, is it real? Is it something that happens, or is it? Can you relate to it?
I can't relate to it because, like,
that's not you. So okay, yeah. So how do you play it?
But I just kind of go into Ricky. What would she do? And like, she'd be like, "Oh no, my drug or my pills," you know, and like, not supposed to let anyone see him. And she takes it really, really seriously, even though it's like, no one's just gonna come up and search you with all your shit.
Right, Billy. Where did that come from? That twist.
Again, from talking to kids, there are an awful lot of kids on a lot of different prescription medications that are used to make them better students, and yet you're not allowed to bring them to school. Not recently, but we used to have drug sniffing dogs at our school, really. And I do know a little boy who was kicked out of his elementary school for bringing his hay fever medication to school. It's true stuff.
And you too are doing Diatom. What's that like? Diatom is a little strange trip.
No, it is so much fun.
I
think it's really awesome. In the play, we're just two friends messing around, and I really like that. That's just really simple. How you think? Oh, maybe it's about a Diatom. Maybe it's about them. I don't know, playing superheroes or waiting at a bus stop. But it's really not. It's just about friendship.
Have you guys read Waiting for Godot?
Yeah.
It's sort of like a very I've always thought of it as a very lefty turny version. It's got a Waiting for Godot teen feel to it, which I really love. What inspired you about Diatom, Billy?
It's somewhere I read about these things, these diatoms that are, they're living entities.
Yep.
They're these little one cell beings. Always growing and getting bigger, and they have these exoskeletons, but they're completely at the whim of what they're around, and so they're always being washed away or moved because they're so small they don't have any control. And I thought, well, that's exactly like being a teenager. you're being moved around by your environment. You're not in control of it. And you develop an exoskeleton just to keep yourself safe.
That's deep.
Thank you.
I love it. It's a great. It's great compliments. So, have you guys performed at International Thespians before?
No.
So, what do you?
These kids have never been to Thespians.
No.
You have never been here before. So, did you go to Hairspray last night?
Yes.
And was that like? Was that
amazing?
Yes.
Spectacular.
My first experience at Thespians, I came and I saw, and I'll never forget. It was a version of Pirates of Penzance where there was a life-sized boat that moved, that came on stage with 26 pirates on it, and it had cannons firing. And I'm like, okay, this is International Thespians. What do you think? How do you think your show's gonna go? Are you excited?
Yeah. Thrilled more than ever.
You gotta wait till Saturday, so that must be.
No.
Anticipation's really hard. Like, that's the hardest thing. It's like waiting the whole time.
Yeah.
You know, it's really hard to do badly at Thespian Festival. I suppose the only real... It would be bad if no one showed up to see it. But once the people show up, it's the best audience in the world because it's the only time you'll have an all-theater student audience.
Very true.
To see other theater students. And the nature of it is so supportive. I mean, they applaud the lights going out.
Yeah.
They applaud everything. They're just really nice. that they're the best audience.
I agree.
And so that's why I keep coming back. It's such a great experience that you just won't get anywhere else.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, enjoy your time.
Thank you.
Break a leg with your show.
Thank you.
And I know it's going to be great. Now, before we go, let's do some theater folk news. We're messing with the podcast and trying things out, and so now we're going to have the news at the end of the podcast instead of the beginning. And I hope you're still around and listening. Maybe we'll have to start adding something fun to this little section, just for the people who stick it out. So, this week it is Free Play Sunday coming up this Sunday. Yeah, that's something fun. Free plays. The last Sunday of every month, we give away plays all day. You need to like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter, but really, that's it. There's no hoops to jump through. You click on the link, and in your inbox will appear a link to a lovely new play. So, join us! Lastly, where, oh where, can you find this podcast? We post new episodes every Wednesday at theaterfolk.com and on our Facebook page and Twitter. You can find us on youtube.com/theaterfolk. You can find us on the Stitcher app, and you can subscribe to TFP on iTunes. All you have to do is search on the word theaterfolk. And that's where we're going to end. Take care, my friends. Take care. Over and out from the little foam box.